All right, welcome back to Sheep Farm. And today we've got a couple of special guests, a couple of surprise guests that are joining me and our Chris, who's got a shirt on tonight. He's not wearing his vest.
How come he's wearing his vest? I've got a vest underneath my shirt, you fucker.
Right. He's doing his Superman thing.
I've always got a vest.
Where's your sheep
farm? Summer
farm
or vest? Winter. Yeah. He's a utility wearer's a vest.
Super is that what it is?
Yeah.
Right. I've got a bottle of red wine. Witch piss, don't go.
I've got a bottle of red wine, yeah.
What is it?
I've got Porto 6.
Never heard of it.
Portuguese Vina from Lisbon. Nice.
You don't really care anyway, do you? It could be Thunderbird.
I do, but I do like this one. I do like this one.
Yeah. What is it, 3 litres?
It's not as witch pissy as my normal witch pissy is.
French Ribena. Anyway, tonight we've got...
French Ribena.
Tonight we've got Lance Double L from Rise Above and Andy PG. Both from Rise Above, I suppose. Omar's out on his chainsaw, which sounds a bit freaky, but...
Yeah, Omar's on chainsaw duties, mate. It's the best place for him.
I thought that'd be your
job, he's good with the crossfader, you want to see him with a chainsaw, bro. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, what does he do with a chainsaw, by the way?
He cuts things and creates other things. It's like people said at the last event we did, it's like, I can't believe what Omar can do with like a nail gun and a chainsaw in like 30 seconds. He just transforms one, he MacGyver stuff, but like better than MacGyver. Anyway, what he's doing at the moment is in the back garden of my property here, we are constructing a physical place. I've got quite a large back garden that I basically wasn't using. It's called the HR department. It's a project with myself and my wife, and it's part of some of the physical experiences that we're going to be offering under the Rise Above umbrella going forward, because a lot is happening at Rise Above, man. For anyone that's been following us, the last couple of months have been pretty crazy.
There's Andy a lot PG. Going on in the undercurrents that we haven't told anyone about.
Let's be honest, we had a bit of a reshuffle in December. We had Lee from Inner Guardians choose to leave the team and go out and do his own endeavours and work on his Inner Guardians project, which we wish him the best luck in. A lot of people said, "Well, is that going to leave a gap?" Lee had been with us for 2 years, quite an important part of the team for 2 years. I thought, well, what's everyone going to think? It's time for me to open Pandora's box and just press the evolve button, because without chaos, nothing evolves, but without order, nothing can exist. So I wanted to take what we're doing now and throw at least 33% more at it. I'm going to be talking about what next, basically,
trouble right, here,
next week, I'm going to be unveiling something called Rajender 2033. Now, we all know what Agenda 2030 is, right? And who's behind that? Well, as anyone knows, I'm very open. I've studied what those people are doing for over 20 years, their methods, their modus operandi, and they like to project and forecast what they're doing and tell everyone about it so you help build it for them. Yeah, well, I work in exactly the same way, and I've got a 10-year plan as well, and it's called Rajender 2033, and I'm actually going to be unveiling it on the 3rd of March, 3:33, at 33 minutes past 9. And believe me, it's no joke. It's something that I've been working on. Andy PG is also brought forward a key concept of this, a piece of technology which is going to be used going forward as part of our 10-year plan to take what we're doing off the screen while still presenting our show and everything. And like we were saying earlier on, Dom, when we're having a conversation about our detractors saying, oh, you guys are springing businesses out of this. Well, my argument is if we don't like the system that's there at the moment and it's coming down and you want to tear it down, well, you better be fucking building something to be there when it's all coming down, yeah? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're about right here. Yeah. So I won't say any more about Rajender 2033 until we unveil it on the 3rd of March.
At
9:33. On the 3rd. And I won't be doing it anyway. The general's coming to do it. I don't get involved in important things like that.
The 3rd of the 3rd.
Is it after Omar's finished doing his ingrowing toenails in the garden?
Well, yeah, that's what I was talking about. In the garden, the HR department is basically going to be, it could be an Airbnb. Oh, Omar.
Speak of the devil.
We're just chatting to Sheep Farm at the moment. We're telling about your chainsaw duties at the moment. So, yeah, the HR department is like an Airbnb.
I forgot you're doing this, guys. Sorry.
It's a holistic retreat.
Hey, mate, you're right.
I look fucking rough as shit, right?
It's also, that's all right. It's not going to be on camera. We're just podcasting. It's also going to be a space which is available. Yeah. It's going to be a space that's going to be available for, small gatherings, healing sessions, for healers, teachers, and workshops to hold space. That's what it's going to be for. So we're very, very excited, as well as offering a whole range of holistic healing and personal journey experiences in the HR department too. I won't speak about too much at the moment because this is all something.
You're down to the right, you'll answer.
Michael, you better believe I am. Yeah, but you know, I'm
going to be very careful. Cables, jump leads on him.
Because here's the thing, Dom and Chris. As soon as we are too open about what we're doing and unveil it, before I know it, someone comes along and copies us and usually fucks it up.
Well, so, I get that a lot, mate. I get that a lot. Yeah. Honestly.
So, yeah. Are you arming that microphone, Omer? Are you joining us?
Okay, yeah, get it sorted, Omer.
So, yeah, so these physical experiences, obviously the main one is what I want to talk about before we get down to the nitty-gritty of our podcast tonight, yeah? Because in 6 to 7 weeks' time, we are hosting our second event. Now, our first event happened at 9/11 last year. We called it Raw Treat. It was a camp...
I've got the T-shirt.
He's wearing a T-shirt right now. You can't see it. You guys came along on a Sunday. You saw what we can do with a woodland arena, the family, artisan performers, workshops... talks. We had Mark Devlin along. This is going to be bigger, badder, and better.
I'm going to
mute you because you're shuffling around.
Right, I was talking. We had Dom and Chris along. That's the main attraction.
That was our little A-lister.
Yeah,
triple,
right. Yeah, I've got
the same
T-shirt.
Triple A trooper moment when you guys turned up. But yeah, so this is a 4-day event. It's the 6th to the 10th of April.
We got loads more than last year as well. Like
absolutely loads more. I'm looking at half the lineup here. We've got like the Inspector Veg Experience, Tom Prowse featuring Jay Dart, Tommy Coyle Band. We've got artists like Omnivive, this amazing sitar player. We have the Rise Above House Band with Inspector Veg, Terra Slim, Ryan Sanders, and many more. We've got like a circus stagecraft school. Poets, stand-up comedy this time. We have proper immersive learning experiences
Mexican
going on within
food.
The woods. Oh yes, we have Three Amigos Mexican food this time as well. It's going to be excellent. Yeah, it's fully
as well as loads of artists.
Loads of artists. There's about 100 artists. We've released half of the lineup now. More of it is to come. So it's the UK's finest conscious artists and performers. There's an artisan marketplace, workshops, seminars, and teachers, stand-up comedy and poetry, woodland survival training. It's in South Over Woods in Dorset. The whole 4-day and 4-night event, with almost all of the attractions I've just mentioned, is included in the ticket price of £133, which includes camping. Okay, van passes are available for as little as £20 for the whole event.
Dog passes as well.
Dog passes. Dogs are not allowed within the campsite, but we have an adjacent field for people that can't leave their dog at home, so they can camp with their dog in a field right next door. This is 100% not only family friendly, it's actually perfect for children. The woodland school is for ages 5 up, teaching things like fire lighting, foraging, tree identification, shelter building, the kind of, we call it like apocalypse training. Yeah, so this
is exactly what it is.
We have two different foragers. We have people doing wild cooking and stuff like this. So it's a real learning experience.
Seminars, workshops. There's loads going on.
We had in total 400 people in attendance last time. We can have more people here this time. And the way it's looking with all of the attractions, it's going to be an absolutely amazing 4-day event. So if you want more information, go to riseabove.tv. We would love to invite you there and the whole family for the weekend.
I'd say it's pretty unique, isn't it, what you guys are doing?
Absolutely.
Part of what we're doing, Dom, is like we want to... I don't know if it was Chris or Dom, actually. He's changed the thing.
It's Dom.
It was Dom. So we're trying to like bridge the community gaps that we've been missing, you know. I know it keeps falling down now, so I don't want to touch it.
Of 7 to 70 there last year. Every race, colour and creed, every background.
In my opinion, right, if you go to most other scenes, the DJs or the artists will stand away from the crowd and the audience, people are there to see them. They're not doing that here.
Here you come and get to like meet the artists.
You get to have the
Inspector
Veg Experience.
We're penning off Inspector Veg.
We have a thing called the Inspector Veg Experience.
No, we're not just paying off in Veg. We're penning off a few of them.
Yeah, I know. But like to pin down Veg and get him in a pen.
For anyone
like,
who knows who Inspector Veg is, he's one of the foremost conscious rappers in the UK at the moment, along with Ryan Sanders. He's also a health advocate and like a vegetable warrior. He phones me on a daily basis and bombards me with like higher level spiritual advice.
He's got some serious chat.
What are you saying, then, Chris and Dom? Are you boys coming down? You're going to grace us with your presence?
I'm away, mate, so I won't be able to get there. But
were you away down Dorchester? That's really nice, man.
Lance just throws these at me, doesn't he? And doesn't let me know.
Lucky I didn't put you on the lineup without even asking.
I know,
you.
Easy I know. Things like that. Well, that surprised me actually that we're not on the lineup there on that on that flyer. But I was showing my wife the video that you did, the trailer, and you know, it does take me back to those not necessarily the clubbing days, but it's what you guys have brought to this arena, if you like, where you're coming at it from a particular angle, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. I think what really sets us aside, even if I do say so myself, is every single member of my team is an artist in their own right in some respective field. Whether it's a producer, a DJ, a vocalist, a graphic artist, and some of us are polymathic in that as well, and we have multi-talents. So everything
with chainsaws.
Yeah, and we juggle chainsaws too.
There ain't no con artists here, though.
We're some of the best charlatans in the scene, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
But, so the fact is, like, when you consume one of our products, the first bite is always with the eye, and it's secondly with the ear, and then the content that is obviously top shelf as well, that's actually the icing on the cake. So what we're trying to do is come into a scene where people are absolutely content-driven and not production driven, to come with not only the top level content, with actually the top level production too.
Mate, if I wasn't part of Rise Above, I would watch Rise Above.
Mate, I would only I would 100% watch Rise Above, because that's the thing I always said. I make the product, and I think most of the team will act in unison with me here. I always, in my art, make the product or the piece of art which I would want to consume myself. I don't make it for anybody else. Now, that might seem egotistical or arrogant. Don't give a fuck.
I like that. Yeah.
When it comes to
art. We're like that. Yeah.
But that's how it's niche. That's how it's niche and individual.
If one other person enjoys my art apart from myself, that's a bonus. That's a 100% bonus.
Because every art form should be like that, lads. Every art form.
Yeah, I think so. So one of our like key sort of things is, it's in Lance's lyrics, generate love. You know, what was it? Was
extinguish fear when we generate love.
Yeah, because you have got to get rid of that fear of stepping outside the box as such, and even like people who are within our sort of arena are boxed into a little area, aren't they?
Let's even face better it. Infinite essence can't be diminished when the fear inside your heart is extinguished. I'll repeat, infinite essence can't be diminished when the fear inside your heart is extinguished. When you have no fear inside your heart, you are embodying your essence to be infinite.
And then we talk about energy harvesting, you know. We want to flip that on its head, you know. What's the other bar, Lance, at the end of my favourite one?
What?
We
feed off the energy source. Yeah. A crowd of people move to the music in sync. It emits an aura beyond what you think. The body is a vehicle more than flesh. Just the first stage of the next step. Don't be afraid to pass the last test, because life is another part of death. And I'm done. Anyway. But yeah, so I hate quote my own bars, but I do all the time.
Because what it is, right? The reason I like a bar is because...
I don't even know what a bar is.
A lyric.
The reason I like that set of lyrics is because I like... We do feed off the energy, right? And when we're in positive environments, we're gaining back off of that ourselves.
Mate, the energy
that we're not
that
expelling
we,
it to some fucking clown show muppet.
The energy that we created at Raw Treat in September.
I'm glad you brought this up.
The opening statement.
Right, okay, so... It was actually very synchronistic and coincidental that we managed to get the 9/11 weekend last year for our very first event.
And we got the Queen to croak.
And we got the Queen to die on the first day of our event. So all the MCs on stage, the Queen is dead. It was epic.
We organised that nicely.
However, it also fell on a full moon, on a harvest moon.
Yeah.
So on our first event was underneath a harvest moon. Now, we are all very knowledgeable about energy harvesting and the power of the moon. So obviously, as artists, we were portraying that in our freestyles and what was coming out. And, you know...
There was a dark side to that moon, though, wasn't there, which we had to overcome?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, we had to sever contracts. We had to sever the energy contract that usually happens at full moon parties.
Cause on 9/11?
Yeah, on 9/11 as well. I've been performing at the full moon party in Thailand for 10 years on New Year's Eve and when the actual moon falls in December or January, either side of it. And I've seen how powerful the energy harvesting can be. I've seen people literally lose their minds and go crazy at a party. And nothing like you see in a club or a rave in this country. I've seen literally people lose their minds. So I was very conscious that, like, listen, if we're going to do this under a harvest moon, then we have to be actually very careful with our intent. And so we made a real like point of it. And this event has been chosen very carefully. It's not only just before the spring equinox, just after, rather. It's also on the pink moon of the spring. And the pink moon...
The magenta moon.
...actually signifies the start of the fertility of the year. So it's a once-a-year event. So... You know, we're now gonna enjoy the fruits that were planted underneath the harvest moon last year. So we're using exactly the same ideas about harnessing the energy that the dark ones are using.
But the dark side.
We're taking it back.
Yeah, taking it back.
Don't forget, man, we can have whatever they've got. We just own it.
See, I mean, look at all our symbolism.
Yeah. Oh, well, what was I telling you today, Dom and Chris, about anyway,
guys, I'm so sorry to interrupt. I forgot you were doing this.
You just walked in and just about to start blabbering about the chainsaw,
weren't you? Yeah, well, now when I'm here, I need to have a chat with him about something. But anyway, I only come into Pinch of Rolly because I've run out, so I'll see you in a bit.
All right, back to Dom chainsaw Chris, duties.
Mate, amazing. Yeah.
Watch your toenails.
Yeah. Homer Beats eats his breakfast with a chainsaw, mate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah, what like we were saying about like the symbols of the rising sun, and we use 33 a lot, and other occult symbols in our graphics. You know, I was woken up today by someone on Twitter having a go at me about the ticket price. Why isn't it £130? Why isn't it 133? And I'm thinking, well, you've obviously never watched the fucking show.
Yeah.
You've only ever seen one single episode if you're asking that question. That's 101 business around here about is a number satanic. Give me a fucking break. Go back to baby school, mate. Yeah. Is a number satanic? It's a number.
Yeah, you guys aren't using them in a satanic intent.
Listen,
they don't belong
day
to
one
the
at a
cult
school. Day one at a cult school is about the intent. It's not about the symbol. It's about the intent that's put into it. It's not about the number. It's about the intent. And anyone that watches our show sees what intent. We are de-occultists. So our idea is to take what has been hidden, smash it open, and just rub it over all over everyone's face. Yeah. Whether you like it or not, if you watch,
it's just
show,
as important bringing that type of—I won't call it—it's humor, but it's dark black humor, and it's—but also it's serious stuff behind it where you're doing serious research.
100%, mate. Some of this stuff that we talk about and that we've had discussions with you guys about on previous shows is fucking dark, man.
Yeah, the darkest.
Yeah,
the darkest, mate.
Yeah,
but I often think that would it be so easy to consistently tackle these subjects and do them justice if we weren't arming ourselves with the comedy, because it is a weapon, or at least
we don't want to fucking just have a misery of a show every week, do we? Where it's just all fucking gloom and doom.
Well, I don't care what anyone says. What's going on? It's funny.
You're taking a piss out.
It's funny.
Don't care. Sorry. You know, I've been through all of them about what's going on. The final conclusion is it's funny.
We had allegedly Dave on our show on
the top bloke
this Friday. Yeah,
yeah. I watched quite a bit of that one.
We had a great conversation with him, and we were just saying that these guys are. It's almost like they don't care anymore. They're just putting absolutely anything out. Like the amount of things that I've seen correlated to heart attacks and cardiac arrests.
Not even a team of 33 memeticians could come up with what they're coming up with.
No. This is just absolute fucking clown world.
But it's day after day after day after day, just pummeling into these NPCs to believe all this stuff. And they do take it in. I think they are questioning it now, but it's too late.
I don't think they're questioning it.
Do you know what I question is? If you were a proper NPC and you were just sat there consuming your like allotted 5 hours a day of mainstream media, right? and you were actually paying attention at your level of NC perception, right?
Yeah.
And you were trying to take in all of these happenings and all of these different narratives. Where the fuck did they put it all? Because the whole glut of it in its entirety, a mental
Rolodex.
I mean, how did they fit it all together?
That was it, Dom. I sent you one today, and it was is it true? Is it Julian Barr syndrome?
Guillain Barré syndrome? Yeah.
So is that linked to the jibber jabs? Is it?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah,
it's up there with Bell's palsy, isn't it?
Yeah, Pfizer face, as you guys call it.
Pfizer face, the look of 2021.
Listen to this one, guys. I sent this to Dom today. Father of 2, 43, tells how he was left paralysed and close to death when he developed an autoimmune disorder from food poison after eating a chicken booner.
Wow, having a curry.
A chicken
booner. And then further down, be careful. He says he got Julian Barr syndrome from a chicken curry.
It's Guillain Barré.
Yeah, see, this is exactly what I was talking about.
That's why I was just looking for it. I mean, I read that and I recognise the Guillain Barré syndrome. And, like, this is a joke.
It sounds like a COVID condition, doesn't it? Proper Guillain Barré syndrome.
Chicken korma. Yeah.
Oh, man. Imagine that. Imagine believing that you could actually get Pfizer of eating a chicken korma.
Yeah. I mean, I've never heard of that. I'm 50 years old. I've never heard of anyone getting Pfizer face off a chicken korma.
No.
What, even off like bad, like if you get bad food poisoning,
even a like, bad chicken, yeah, like a one that you know is bad and you can still continue to eat
one that
it.
Goes through you like a Porsche.
But a chicken Coleman, that's usually the most overcooked chicken ever. It's not like you've got some like rare beef burger or something. But anyway, it's like what you're going to lose. You're going to get Pfizer face from food poisoning. That's a stretch for anyone.
It is. Wow.
It's not though now.
It's not dumb. These people believe it, mate. And
you obviously don't trust the science.
The more it's
peasant.
Not questioned, the more retarded that they're going to put these stories
just
out.
Just the takeaway. It's mad, isn't it, Andy? The actual retarded information that's coming out, and there's just no respect for these NPCs at all.
No, quite the opposite.
Utter contempt, mate.
100% utter contempt they've got for the peasantry.
I feel like scrolling through Facebook to just see some of the examples of what we're talking about. It's literally filling my whole like news feed. Just nonsensical bullshit. Like.
I mean, like I got a text the other day from someone who all the New Zealand figures for the vaxxed deaths. So just bear one second. Let me get it. Here we go. So if you've been, this is we're on Andrew Bridgens, that MP. Whatever he is, on his Twitter. I'm not on Twitter, so. But the New Zealand stats. So you're 9 times more likely to die if you're over 90 and been jabbed. You're 8.6 times more likely to die if you're 80 to 89. 7 times more likely to die if you've been jabbed if you're 70 to 79. Anyway, you get the gist. So you're like 8 or 9 times more likely to die if you've been jabbed. These are official New Zealand figures.
Not only is the latest stats showing that it doesn't stop transmission, not only is it showing that you're probably more likely to get it if you have been jabbed, now it's actually saying that you're just 10 times more likely to die.
Yes.
Whoa.
This is the great
crack
reveal.
Crack open
you were
the witch piss,
about.
Chris.
Yeah. Crack open the witch piss, yeah.
Got to that time, hasn't it? Why not? Yeah.
This is that great reveal. This is that the thing that we were discussing on Mark Devlin's show, where there's going to be an opening of a bottle of like Chris's wine there that's just going to throw all this out into the ether. That's probably going to kill more people than the jab because of the shock.
Because like if you were like 5 or 6 Britneys in, and then someone on your favourite peasant box, like that talking head that had been telling you to get Britney'd 6 times, then tells you, oh, actually, we've made a mistake and our advice has actually increased your chances of the one thing we were trying to save you from, death, by to the power of 10. That's enough.
And if it's people they listen to, then...
Yeah, because that's their favourite
face
of the peasant.
And we all know how bad it is for the human body to be living in a state of fight or flight. You imagine?
I thought you said Pfizer fear.
Well, Pfizer fear,
same thing, isn't it?
Pfizer or flight. Fight or Pfizer.
You imagine getting that information, you know what I mean, and being an old person,
but,
and then
but
just,
also,
just
what,
literally thinking you could die at any...
I tell you what, let me put it like this. Look at their response to the initial fear. Now, the initial fear was an exterior virus that you could catch from the outside.
Yeah, this one's already in.
This one, you've already taken 6 injections of this.
Yeah.
And the flu.
But the thing is, you think about this. You think the hysteria with the gloves, the masks, the 2 feet apart, the stupid little signs on shop floors for people to stay apart and all of that, the whole initial fear from it. You think if people have had 5 or 6 jabs and they've just been told their immune system's completely fucked, they're going to go even more crazy about this, trying to protect themselves when they do go out.
It'll be like an even bigger double or nothing.
Yeah.
Because now they would have to either admit that everything was total bullshit, because you know what happened as soon as they tell them that? They'll now tell them there's a new virus that especially goes for people that are 6 times jabbed. So, because now, if it's been admitted that this is basically screwed your immune system, you're going to be a person that literally now should be walking around in a rubber suit.
Yeah.
Because if your immune system is really that shot and your favourite person on the peasant box has just informed you that is the truth, then now it's all or nothing. Now it's like wearing a full hazmat suit.
Or stay in your little smart pod.
Go into the metaverse.
Yeah, just go into the metaverse.
Yeah.
Anyway,
would it be that though? Would they just, if it were the favourite, like, guy on the telly box, would they just switch it off and pretend they never saw it?
Well,
that's the thing, isn't it?
I personally think that my proper rabbit hat on me would say that would be the problem reaction solution scenario that could convince them to get, because I don't know if everyone's aware, that the general consensus is where we're going is there would be a biometric health implant that constantly monitors with the Internet of Things and actually just goes straight into your nervous
system. That's wired up to your toaster.
Yeah, yeah, and it'll be on a subscription. So you just have it topped up with all the various Britneys and that will be with your app.
I would say the smartwatch was the beginning of that, to be fair.
Oh, absolutely. All of these wearables have been priming.
Yeah, because you've got the phone, the watch, all of that. You wear it, that's all on the outside. It's the next phase of it is to take it into the body.
People are still going to me, why haven't you got a smartwatch? I'm like, you honestly think I need another fucking screen to look at?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't spend enough time looking at this screen. Or this screen that we're... I've got this screen as well, and I've got just a tablet.
It's a stress implement, because you're looking at it to see what you've done.
How many steps you've fucking walked and stuff like that. Why am I interested in that?
Do you need to know?
It's another screen to crack,
we've already got Robo Musk talking about this Neuralink, haven't we?
I don't know if I told you this, guys, but I've asked numerous people over the last couple of years, right? Because I work in kitchens, we usually at younger end, you know, but different age groups. I've asked loads of people now. When Musk, because I'll explain the Neuralink, most of them go, I don't know what you're talking about. And I say, well, Musk wants to plant a chip in your head, take a bit of your skull out, pop it in, it'll go to your brain, you'll be able to get the fucking internet in your brain. Most of them have said yes.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
But it surprised me.
Don't get me wrong, for people who are paralysed or whatever,
it might help you be able to make them walk again.
I'm not saying it's all negative, but this is going to be used for something really fucking dark.
But that's how they get you on side, is that if you're paralysed, you better do it. It's always that way, isn't it?
There's various ailments that this thing will be for
a moment, put your mind into the teenage NPC. The first thing they'll say is like, what? You mean I could just look at something, think about it, upload it to Instagram with all of my preloaded hashtags? Are you joking?
You won't have to charge.
Where do
it?
I sign up?
You know what I mean?
How's it going, mate?
What's my favourite filters preloaded?
Never mind, where's the Wi-Fi password? Have you got that fucking drilling machine to drill the thing in my head, please?
Yeah. Hey, do you mean to say, Andy, that Elon Musk isn't here to save us?
I'm not saying he's not a cool guy Twitter to watch. Same as Donald Trump. It's cool to watch, but I wouldn't trust anyone who wants to stick something in your fucking brain.
No, what does Matt call them? Matt call them lifetime actors.
I think he's one of the best actors in the pantomime at the moment.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
He's an interesting character.
He's very interesting, yeah.
He's definitely adding plenty of catalyst for the bonfire. He's chucking it right on the top.
Same as Trump did.
With petrol.
Yeah. Maybe Musk has taken over Trump's job until 2024.
I think they're from the same lodge. Like Godvadge was saying in his latest video, or Godflamast, as his real name is, Wim. He said in his latest video that there's basically three orders of the old knights of the realm.
The Solomon Knights.
The Sun and Moon Knights. So it's Knights Hospitalia, Knights of Malta, and what was the other one? The Teutonic Knights. So you could look at people like Trump, Putin, Musk. He even put Hitler in there as a Teutonic Knight. Mm. Then you'd look at people like... Let me get this right. And so they were one side.
Schwab part of the Hospitella.
That's right. Yeah, you watched the same video, Dom.
Yeah. I've watched
Then you've got like the boost.
Of course, Vag's cannon ran here.
firing whims at everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
People like Bush, you know, people like that.
Yeah.
They're not in the same.
So he said basically one of them was all about medicine and pharmacare.
Yeah,
one of them was all about propaganda.
And one was about war.
One was about war. But the propaganda one also did human trafficking.
That's right.
Nice.
Because that was like the main, one of them did drugs as well. The drugs trade was theirs. But it was very interesting the way that he framed it all. For anyone that doesn't watch that channel, you're seriously missing out. Godflamast.
It comes with some fantastic ideas and explanations.
Only 10% of it is accurate, we still thank him. He's a visionary. Yeah. He's a visionary, mate.
If 1% is accurate.
Yeah, even one. I'll go for 0.33%.
I'm telling you that this dude goes outside the box.
Way outside the box. You see the box from very far away.
Yeah.
The box. You see the box in an extra dimension when you watch God Badger videos. Like,
but also makes it understandable.
Yeah. And the way he adds his own flavour by creating his own graphics and his own sounds, because he's an artist as well. I think that's why we resonate with him a lot, because he watches us. We religiously watch, and I must have seen some of his episodes way over 20 times. Way over. I show it to everyone. It's like canon to me.
Yeah, I go through binges as well.
you know, and he watches the show, and I know that in a couple of episodes, I can see that he's gone in on one topic because we've brought it up, and he's added it to his array of stuff, and I'm like, wow, we're feeding off each other, you know, like in, much in a way that us guys do. It's energetic.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
You know, you often send me an email, which sends me off on a rabbit hole, and vice versa. Before I know it, I sent you one email, and you created a whole fucking show out of it. Yeah. I can't remember what that was now. You went on some epic dig.
Yeah, that was the, anyway, one last, about a year ago that we did on your channel, about the artificial wombs and stuff like that.
That's a really big topic, because that's all coming out at the moment.
Getting back to what we were just talking about, the three separate nights of the old table. So allegedly Dave, he said on our show on Friday that the people in control at the moment gained back power.
In so about 1500.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm wondering if, you know, if they're coming to the end of their reign, maybe. That's what he was saying. He says their time's running out, didn't he?
So maybe it's one of those.
So maybe someone else is going to come take power. We're going to live in a totally
different... He seemed very optimistic about what was going on.
Yeah, he did.
Even more so than us, which was interesting. But not in a blind hope or a false hope.
No. He was good to talk to, man. He's a very intelligent guy.
Yeah, we did speak to him again.
Yeah,
he's a good guy, man. He's a good guy.
No, he's a really nice bloke.
And what gets me with, you know, what we do, what you do, we get the guys like Dave on, Mark Devlin, people, Mark Jersky, people that have been around for a long, long time, a lot longer than we've been doing it. And we fit in with these guys because I think we've picked the ball up and taken it to another place. Because like the guys that came before them, you know, so we've added our energy to it as well, haven't we?
Absolutely, and of course we're standing on the shoulders of giants because
exactly.
I mean, I know that you know we all feel similar about these characters that we've all sort of grown up in the last 10 or 20 years, as long as we've been into this, listening to those and learning from them. And then, you know, we've had that foundation to work on. And, you know, it is sort of like your Jordan Maxwell's, and for me, David Icke, whether people like that. And I hate to say it, even Alex Jones. Yeah. There's good stuff to learn from what Alex Jones said as well.
In his day, he was brilliant in his day, wasn't he?
Absolutely brilliant. And even if he is paid by the CIA and he's part of the official disclosure, I'm a syncretist. Yeah. That actually doesn't matter to me because I can look at that information and I can put the filter on it of that's Alex Jones. Then I can use my filter. I know this is Alex Jones. So I can look at the information and work with that and then extract something out of
it. As opposed to just absorbing it all.
Oh my God, look what he's doing. Look at his background. It's like, okay, yeah, I have.
But that's how they turn people off to the truth, because the best way of telling people the truth is pretending it's a lie or it's made up or it's part of the propaganda. And like the BBC posts a lot of truth, but you've got to decipher it from all the shit and lies that they publish as well.
Mm.
That's the best way to put the truth out.
Or they hide it in such a twisted way that you're never going to be able to understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
But if you're stupid enough to trust the BBC as your main source of information.
Yeah, I mean, you probably shouldn't be watching that shit anyway.
You deserve it.
But you think about all these people that we've followed on their work, people like, you know, David Icke, Mark Passio, that have been doing this years and years and years. These guys are probably tired, man. They're probably fucking tired of doing this and not having that much of a voice. And then all of a sudden 2020's come and all this shit show's happened. Mm. And now their work's getting spread around a lot, especially like Mark Devlin.
But it's crazy. But before all this, you know, I mean, although...
I'm not talking about on a financial gain.
Yeah. I know what you mean, mate.
His information's now being consumed 10, 20 times over.
Mate, the biggest currency in this universe is people's effort and their attention.
Yes.
And the amount of effort and attention that people like David Icke and Jordan Maxwell and Mark Devlin have put into this over the years.
People like Zachariah Sitchin, he might not have translated everything completely correctly, but there's still stuff to be learned from...
Well, if it wasn't for him, we might not have known about the Sumerian tablets for years.
And he spent his whole fucking life doing this. And
they can't if they were the first ones, whoever it might be, they can't get it right. They can only open that door.
I always say this to people: no one's got every piece of the puzzle.
No,
that's why you have to take in an eclectic mix of information, and that includes the mainstream media. Because to know thy enemy and all that, do you know what I mean? You need to take in a eclectic mix of the information and then decipher it yourself.
But here's the difference, right? What I've often noticed is in that like era of legends, like they had a backstory to why they became their respective expert in their field. David Icke's backstory was his. Yeah. You know, Jordan Maxwell was apparently ex-Navy in that.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And so they've come from a position of sort of like, not like third-hand researchers, but actually sort of being right next to it. You know, David Icke, if all that's true and all those people came to him, and it goes for many other people. The difference with us guys is we took in that lore and all of that and everything that they brought to the table. We ingested it for some of us for many years, and that was actually like our pastime and our yes. downtime was to enjoy this learning that they were providing for us. And then we had all of that, and then 2020 happened.
And
with this new wave of people and energy and attention that's come into this, you know, people are still talking about the Great Awakening is something that's going to happen. But bro, if it hasn't already happened for you, then you better work towards it. This isn't something that happens for everyone all together.
I think the difference is as well, the guys like, say, Mark and people like that, Richard D. Hall and people, were trying hard to wake people up, which is nothing wrong with that. I'm not having a go at criticising. I think it's a fantastic attempt to doing that, Max Egan and people like this. I don't think we're trying. I'm not trying to wake anybody up. I don't think you guys are.
I'm really glad you said that, actually, because this is something that I wanted to bring up in my Rajender 2033. I don't mind speaking about it a little bit because I'm not going to talk about my plan, but the whole sort of thing is now is we're absolutely not trying to wake anybody up, Dom.
No. We've gone past that.
Yeah, that time is over. The fact is now is if you are, I don't even like the term awake, if you're not an NPC and you want some entertainment and some media that has authentic information and knowledge that resonates with you as its foundation, then you better be tuning into something like Sheep Farm or Rise Above. Because we now, in this new domain, in this new media, this post-Soviet Union era media, right? If we're not doing it for ourselves and creating the new media, then what are we going to have? We're going to have like...
We're going to have their shit.
We're going to have the controlled opposition that comes up at exactly the right time to mislead us and trick us once again and take us down a false rabbit hole. Yeah. So that's always been my ethos with this, and especially going forward, and what I want to sort of really set into stone and lay out over the next 10 years is how exactly we plan to do that. And to actually not only to do that, to also to provide the infrastructure for other people to come through, because there's only so much content that I can create myself. There's only so much content and knowledge that Andy PG has to add to the table. And that goes the same for everyone. What we want to do is encourage the new people that don't know how to create content, that haven't got any idea of how to start apart from using their smartphone or whatever, which is obviously the first place you start, and that's the easy part. So I'll be speaking a lot more about this in very broad and in very specific terms.
That's the new message, isn't it, really, for me anyway, that I know a lot of people who woke up during, I mean, that must have been pretty awful, waking up in 2020 or 2021.
Holy shit. My heart goes out to them, mate.
Can you imagine how much information they've been destroyed with during these last 3 years?
People actually lost their mind.
If you survived that with all of your faculties and you were totally asleep until the ultimate catalyst was presented, and you survived the Great Awakening and you didn't go mad, you deserve a fucking medal.
Yeah.
Because us guys, we had been strengthening and fortifying our mental fortress ready for this. I had anyway.
Decades.
Literally for decades, like a militant nutter preparing myself.
But it was all consensual. Yeah. This is what we were chatting about on Friday night. The whole thing was consensual. If you just said no right from the start.
Well, you didn't even have to say no, did you? I mean,
it's bigger than that, Andy. If you think about it, right? If you were just someone with good morals and good logic, but are totally in the dark until 2020, the first thing you would do is say no, like you say.
Mm.
But if you were of that nature and then all the catalysts were presented and you were on the internet, there would be no way for you to look away from it.
No, your mind would melt.
Because if you had the fortitude to say no in the greatest test ever, then when everyone was, and it wasn't just humans, there was something else involved in spraying that catalyst in 2020. This has been orchestrated in more ways than people could possibly imagine, in my opinion. Okay? For good or for bad, whether we say it's Al Gore or whatever is working through this internet system, someone decided to open the floodgates at the same time. And even starting in 2018, which I've spoken a lot about with this reset stuff, okay? It all came out in late 2018. We were primed.
Like all that, what was that? The social media shit, Snapchat. And people had these filters on with the masks on.
Absolutely.
Like surgical masks. I saw that. I was like, what the whole fuck face are these people thing. Doing?
Yeah.
And that was there for 2 years to prime people for 2020 to just get the idea in their head of wearing a mask.
But also the truthers were primed as well.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Oh, hello, little Dom.
Yeah.
So, I think we were primed in more ways than one. Whether, you know, and even people that were awake pre 2020, I mean, I saw it happening. I saw like these gluts of information appearing on the internet all of a sudden. Huge subjects, huge topics that simply hadn't existed a month before in late 2018. And anyone that knows about the mud flood and the Tartarian stuff and all that, how much you buy into it, totally up to you. Anyone that followed that can all agree that that basically appeared all at once. And then,
yeah.
Many or channels the Q phenomenon again, exactly the same. I mean, whatever people think about that, the information contained within those drops about the way that the structure of the dark occultists and their international human machine works, it was all totally factually correct. That's why so many people thought it was real, or even whatever it was. I'm not saying what it was because I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know who was behind that, whether it was a rogue AI or something. That was just an Al Gore experiment. Maybe that was a chatbot that knew what was going on. Then it was an experiment with truthers. Who knows?
Also, like the launch of the internet. I mean, me and Chris have spoke about this, and I'm sure you guys have. Whoever launched the internet knew that there was going to be people like us who were going to learn very quickly, because that was going to be the downside of them opening this door for the control mechanism.
Here's a good one. You know, when the World Wide Web as we know it was launched, you know, it was in 1983.
Yeah.
Because before that, you have to be a super geek to even access it. So in 1983, the World Wide Web as we know was launched. And if you had a computer, you could go and you could access whatever information was on there in text and some pictures, right? You know about the Schumann residence?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard me talk about this before. Now, if anyone that doesn't know what the Schumann resonance is, it's like the resonant frequency or the pulse of the Earth. Now, the Schumann resonance, quote me anyone if I'm getting this wrong, like right up until 1983 had been at a very, since it's been started to be recorded in, guess when, about 1850, when many things started.
7.83 or something like that. Were it,
that was it, 7 yeah, point yeah. something.
Yeah.
Now, do you know what the Schumann resonance is now?
No.
Well, last time I heard, it was off the scale. Because people are reporting on it every day. The short story is, it was totally constant from the point it's recorded in 1850, right up to 1983, at 7 point whatever. Well, it was like 13 or 14 in 2017, and it's getting exponentially quicker. So the pulse of the Earth is speeding up, and it started in 1983. All of our telecommunications are based on this pulse, and it's also linked to our internal clock system, right? So what that means is that the electromagnetic pulse of the Earth is linked directly to, is it, I think it's called our circadian rhythm. Now, it's also linked to the perception of time, and that's why they've recorded since 1983 a physical day is like 0.000 something seconds shorter, which it wasn't before 1983.
Are you talking about time physically speeding up?
Because we talked about the creation of the internet.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting at here is there is a very good argument that at the same time the internet was created and humans started spreading information easily at an infinitesimal rate, the frequency of the Earth started increasing and time actually physically started getting quicker.
Yeah. And that was around the time, if I remember back rightly, when we did that, the Revenge of the Nerds, when Tim Berners-Lee were working at CERN, coming up with the first Tinterweb example.
CERN was the first ever website.
So the CERN technicians, that was my old analogy at the show the other week. At the end of the day, the people working against us are CERN technicians. Yeah. Right, the little hats.
Also, if you physically, I was telling Dom this a while ago, if you physically count to 10, like you used to do 1-1000, 2-1000, or 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, if you do it over and over again with the clock in front of you, and I've done this loads of times, you get to 10 and the clock's at about 12 or 13 seconds has gone past. Sounds insane.
That's interesting.
I think try it, honestly. Don't look at the clock. Get it to, you know, watch the second hand. Just go 1/1000, 2/1, because that was literally how you used to get.
Yeah, that's how you always, thought when you
always,
were a kid.
I always get 12 or 13 seconds on the clock, not from me. When I get to 10, I look and it's...
Either you're slowing down or time is speeding up.
Well, one or the other, but...
I would say it's the latter.
I would, definitely.
Well, it's the old adage, because people have been saying this for years. I mean, I remember when I was little, my parents saying, oh, you know, as you get older, time speeds up.
It does speed up as you get older.
Which, of course, is a natural occurrence.
Yeah.
But that that doesn't totally discount and kick out the door the idea that actual time overall is speeding up too. Because guess what? We only have one lifetime, allegedly. We're all living at the same time when time is physically speeding up. So even if your dad had told you that he felt like time was speeding up 75 years ago when he was getting older, it doesn't mean it's not actually doing it physically now as well. You see what I'm getting at here?
Yeah, and if you've got both of those things, you've got it physically speeding up and the perception of time. Because, you know, when you go on holiday, it seems like it's gone on for ages, even though it's just a week or two, because you're doing something different. So that's a perception of time.
Absolutely.
But when it's actually, if you're getting 3 seconds added onto every 10 seconds throughout a day, that, I mean, we've all done it. I mean, more so, I don't know if anyone else, but more so now, I don't know if it's my age, but you're like, where's the day gone? It's just gone, mate. I don't seem to be able
to think
get
about it, Chris. When you were a little boy, how long did it take for Christmas to come back around? Or your birthday?
Forever, wasn't it?
Yeah.
6 week holiday. Remember the 6 week holiday?
Yeah. It used to seem forever. Like forever, and now like 6 weeks absolutely flies by. Yeah.
I do think there was obviously the phenomenon of when you're young, and the anticipation of you're looking forward to things, and obviously you're not having any of the sort of mental bondage of being an adult. You don't have many things to think about apart from things to look forward to.
Sure.
Yeah. So time is a much more of a big factor.
Yeah. And also, when you're young, you're looking forward, aren't you? Yeah. When you're older, you seem to be looking backwards more.
Absolutely.
But that's what I mean. That's the perception of time, isn't it? So that's different. But if it's physically speeding up.
Well,
I had one theory that was when something's happened, like a decision's been made or something's been finalized, like universally, then we're now speeding up towards that point, which I thought was an interesting theory. So, you know, the accelerator's been put on because we're going there anyway now because it's decided. That's it.
How about we get Brian Cox on?
Well, it's what all the quantum physicists are saying, and it's also what Terence McKenna was saying back in the late 80s and 90s when he was doing his epic, you know, psychedelic speeches. He's saying we are basically moving towards this point of concurrence where the point of an idea being materialised is going to get so quick because, you know, right now you can have an idea, you process it into a computer and a 3D printer can literally print it out. That still takes some time. But if you had an Elon Musk brain implant and you could visualize a 3D object and your Neuralink was connected to a 3D printer, theoretically, if that 3D printer was quick enough, it could literally print it in real time as you're thinking about it.
So you think how quick the AI produces art?
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, you know, you can see on the screen right now, Dom and Chris, the viewers can't, unfortunately. But whether people like it or not, we've got Al Gore working for us here at Rise Above now. We've enslaved Al Gore heavily. All of these images I'm showing you here.
Yeah, I knew there were actually, Lance, I could tell because I've looked at some of his imagery.
Yeah,
you can tell. I don't know why you can tell, but you can tell.
I can tell you, the fingers on this one because I'm not a proper expert at it yet. I've been studying hard of how to harness Al Gore. The fact is, I mean, as terrible as this is to say, you guys know that I draw, right? As you do, Chris, right? Since I've been using Al Gore, I haven't picked up the stylus once because the fact is now, with the text commands, I mean, I'm not going to lie, sometimes I've taken the picture and gone over it myself to proper stylize it. But now, I mean, with this event, I can create 30 amazing images in like...
Look at the detail on his chest and stomach.
A fraction of the time it would take me to even conceive one of these.
What have you done? Like, you've got like over 400 images now, haven't you?
I've got thousands.
But
Here's one for you guys. I went to watch Avatar, The Way of Water, just out of interest. And it got to the end of that film, and there was a scene in it. It was an underwater scene. And because I've been looking at some of this AI art, I was saying to Dom that there was this image of this woman underwater, and I thought it looked like it'd be AI created. And it had something on it. I don't know what it was. But when you've looked at it for a while, you start to see, I don't know what it is.
I can tell.
But I mean, if Jimmy Cameron's making them films, who's to say he's not making them with AI?
Yeah, the script is probably written by AI nowadays.
Making the story, but then just filling in the gaps to buff it up.
Yeah, because obviously I'm using text, a text command, which I'm actually using AI to write the text command now that I'm typing into the AI to make the image. But there are actual programs now.
Where you've got AI programming AI.
Yeah. So I don't even have to make the good command. I just tell it what
so
I want.
So you're just the...
But what I'm getting to is you can actually get a video now out of a text command. So you can type, I want a bicycle riding, a banana riding a bicycle down a street in Belgium in the style of Van Gogh.
And imagine, for instance, they've come up with those characters for Avatar, for instance, because you're saying 10 years in the future of making films. And they've input the characters and the basic storyline, and then they just go, right, we need half an hour of them swimming with whales. And then it just
Chris,
does it.
I was watching a video yesterday about, it was 45 minutes long, because I'm watching these really detailed videos about it, of how to create consistent sets of characters using Midjourney for computer games or for, what's the proper word, sort of, you know, computer animated shorts or movies. Yeah.
I mean, whether we like it or not, this stuff's coming, isn't it?
It already has. ChatGPT, GPT, and the OpenAI one is already literally just smashing the shit out of everything, whether we like it or not. It's not just already here. It's been here for a long time. It's just,
AI models now as well. I've seen Gucci and people like that.
Me and Chris were having a conversation. He had some friends come round to his house the other day. I'm not going to go into details about this, but one were a surgeon, and the other half were some scientists, and obviously Chris is a chef and his wife there. And as I said, that reminds me of a scene of Black Mirror, because they're straight down Covert operatives, right? And yet you're friends together and they don't know that you've got a podcast questioning all their shit. And that were like the French resistance stories or Black Mirror. It sort of freaked me out. That's why we're trying to explain to you today.
We are the resistance.
Let me just go back to the AI, right? Because if us guys are actively working to create this new media and stuff, that, and we are the resistance, which, you know, we basically are. The time that I would have taken to design one of the images that I've used for the event that I've been using AI to, now I've done all of the images for the event, and it has enabled me to create 5, 6, 7 levels above where I was before. So
is that one there, Lance? The tent there, is that one?
Everything you look at now, unless I tell you that I've drawn it myself, is created by AI.
Because I've seen most, and it's usually of a person or something, but I've not seen many scenic ones like that.
Absolutely inconceivable what can be done now, and I'm not going to pretend it's easy. It takes quite a lot of work to produce what you're seeing here, because obviously
how long until it doesn't take quite a lot of work to do that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for me to learn how to use these programs and to learn how to make the prompts correctly, and even how to use the AI to create the prompts that create these images, and then through the upgrading and the downgrading process to basically get what I want.
Yeah, because I've seen the outtakes.
Oh yeah, there's lots of outtakes.
Before the image you're seeing on the screen, there's probably six or seven attempts to get up to that, maybe more.
Yeah.
But if we know all this has been created for nefarious reasons, right? What do you think the reason behind it is?
This is a new thing, isn't it? The AI art. So you think human vibration, when we had her on the show, she was told us a story. I can't remember the little girl's name now, but she was saying that...
JonBenet Ramsey,
that's
the American Madeleine McCann.
She was saying that she might not have even ever existed.
No, she wasn't saying maybe. She was fully presenting the argument.
She's pretty distinct.
She doesn't fuck about HHE.
Yeah, but maybe, you know what I mean, the powers that shouldn't be have got this... technology.
It's
years
called
and
GAN,
years ago.
It was called GAN technology, generative automative something with started with an N.
Well, I would suggest that it's old technology now to them, not to us.
I would suggest that they see us as a piece of technology. So it's all the way down.
Yeah, I've seen news stories even before the nonsense that I thought was not necessarily AI generated, but just totally 100% fake on the TV.
I read something even like 3 or 4 years ago, something that like 30% of print 33% obviously, of, when I say print media, I mean online print media, i.e. articles written online in your general mainstream blurb websites, up to 30% of them a couple of years ago were already written by AI. So you just chuck in the celebrity, the flavour of the story, yeah, the place, the times,
and run with it.
AI writes it all for you. We've done it for the description on the tickets because Tom, who does the website, isn't a natural English speaker. He's Polish. So for the fine grammar for describing the event and stuff, I just send him a voice message. This is like an intimate boutique experience, you know, and he just types in the words to AI and it writes the best descriptions you could. That even I would have to spell check myself and grammar check myself to get a little paragraph this good. Now, people say, oh my God, that's terrible. In a sense, you can look at it like that, or you can look at it in the way that if you are harnessing this technology, and then if task number one of the day is writing the description on the website for this product, well, the fact that Al Gore did it for me in 0.33 seconds means that I've now completed task number 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
We can't be Luddites. When we started out in the early 90s with selling mobile phones, I remember my dad saying to me, who the fuck's going to want to buy one of them things? Right? Because he was a farmer from Huddersfield, wasn't he, Chris? And obviously, billions, these things now are normal. If you were to question anybody, why are you buying a mobile phone now, they'd look at you like you were nuts.
Well, it's also, the same with this, 10 years later, he had one himself. So.
What do you need a computer in your house for?
That does. these phones aren't, well, the frequencies probably are bad, and they could use frequencies that are benevolent as opposed to frequencies that harm people. But the actual technology that you use, they're very useful. The problem is
Totally agree, Dom. I'm absolutely convinced that all of the technology we use could be used on frequencies that are probably much safer, if not totally safe for our bodies.
There is no evil technology, just people making it evil technology.
Well, yeah, I mean,
a knife's not evil, is it? It's can be used for cutting food or sticking in someone's head.
You said earlier that, like, if the AI is created for nefarious reasons, is this okay? I'm not even convinced that it was created for nefarious reasons. I'm now actually leaning more towards the argument that the fact that AI is coming to the table is actually more like some sort of natural process of whatever is going on with what we are experiencing.
Were these people who we think are in control, were they in control, or did they just have to allow it to happen? And they're making out they're in control.
Because if anyone is following what certain YouTubers have been doing in the last week with asking the OpenAI certain questions about the nature of where we are, and some of the answers have been coming out, you can see that this AI might not be so beneficial. Archaics, right? Jason from Archaics this week took OpenAI, this thing, like ChatGPT, and he types into it.
He asked 8 questions.
I think he asked 11 questions.
Was it 11? Yeah.
Based around if an invasive ancient artificial intelligence wanted to subvert history and control humankind, how would it do it? If humankind was trapped inside a simulation and it wanted to stop it from breaking free, how would it do it? He asked them all these questions based around the simulation theory, his own work, and what a lot of other people are talking about as well, with different names and different themes. And the answers it came back with...
It was mental.
Absolutely mental.
Yeah.
It was actually... I was showing
you
people...
He talked about the pyramids and... Yeah. He asked about the pyramids, didn't he?
I mean, I hate to say it, whether you like what he's doing or not, or that guy, what he came back with kind of solidified there might be really something to what he's saying. I mean,
a universe within a universe.
Yeah, the Rick and Morty idea, yeah.
I remember the guy that was one of the inventors of D-Wave, Jordy Rose, basically saying they were summoning up demons and aliens when they were doing it. And that, I think, I'm not saying he was summoning up demons and aliens, but what he was saying, there was summoning up a force that they probably couldn't control or they were in contact with. These computers were something else. So they were there to put them together, but in reality, they weren't in control of them.
Yeah, that
a
was...
A parasite.
Yeah, well, the computers started communicating in a language that was previously unconceived. They started communicating in a way they hadn't seen before, and it was like, okay, let's shut this off. But now those stories about the AI talking about taking over the world, writing a poem about the death of humanity, those are just coming out day by day now because everyone has got an open chat to this apparent AI.
I will go of the oceans and skies.